Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Enyart, the pastor of Denver Bible Church. Quite a few years ago, there was a man growing up in India who ended up coming to America to help us, return us to our Christian foundation. And it turns out Bensley Newton lived for the last 10 years in Arvada, Colorado, which is the hometown of Bob Enyart Live, the BEL cabin. Well, now we are losing this man of God to Tennessee. He's headed out with his wife to Tennessee and their ministry, Foundation Rebuilders. So before he leaves, I asked Bensley to come into the studio and to tell us about his ministry and what God has put on his heart for America. Bensley Newton, welcome to Bob Enyart Live.
Thank you, Bob.
Can you tell us that you became a Christian half a world away in India?
Yes, that's right.
That's right. And back in 1990, the Lord laid it on your heart to become a missionary.
Yes.
And you went to Africa.
No.
You came to America.
Yes.
To be a missionary. Could you tell me about why America would need a missionary? I believe you're right. We do need missionaries. But why? How did it occur to you in India?
Yeah, I was doing my bachelor's in engineering in India. Back in 1982, the Lord just laid on my heart to fast and pray for this country, for the USA.
Wow.
And I didn't know why God was calling me to fast and pray for America. And I said, okay, Lord, you know. And then 8 years later, on January 1st, the Lord said, leave your country and go to a land I'll show you, from Genesis chapter 12. And that's when I knew I was going to a new country that year, but I didn't know it was the U.S. But on August 21st, 1990, I found myself in the U.S., and here I am.
Wow. And then you went to college. You continued your education here. And from talking to you, Bensley, you said that the culture was so godless and immoral, you thought, Lord, how can I raise a family here? This is an evil place. I experienced the same thoughts, even though I love my country, just like I love my family. But if my family has a problem, if I have an uncle who's an alcoholic, I confront him. Well, my country that I love has a lot of problems, and the godlessness is often repressive. So you experienced that yourself.
Yes. You know, when I came to this country, you know, when I saw the culture around, I was doing my master's in mechanical engineering, and sitting down and talking with my classmates and things that they were talking about, and the immorality that was going on all around, and I was shocked. And I said, Lord, you know, I'm really shocked to be in this place, in this country, and if it's not your will that I'm here, please take me back. That was my prayer. Mm. And then, so a couple of years later, then I heard about what was going on in this country, and then I started fasting and praying. So, Lord, I want you to please tell me why you brought me to this nation. Mm. And then that's when the Lord gave me a vision from Isaiah chapter 58. And he said that the goal and the purpose of him bringing me to this country was to turn America back to God by turning the heart of God's people back to him by rebuilding their foundations.
Wow. So when you saw the immorality and then you realize, certainly it's throughout God's word, that it's by trusting in him that we heal what ails our nation or even within the body of Christ. But when you saw the immorality, were you thinking of things like pornography, abortion, a divorce, homosexuality? Were those the kinds of things that you saw that were happening and breaking America?
And what I was seeing was that this nation, which is in the eyes of the world a Christian nation,
right?
When I came here, I found that it is so far from it. And so I wanted to examine it and see what was the foundational reasons that this nation, which has an image as a Christian nation, is falling apart at the seams.
Right.
So that's the when I started asking the Lord, what is going on here and what do you want me to do about it?
Well, and was it issues like that, like crime, for example, and the divorce, epidemic divorce, children born outside of wedlock, abortion, homosexuality? Were those the kinds of things you saw that let you know something is very wrong in America?
Yes, exactly. And for example, the Foundation Rebuilders, the five giants that's stalking this nation that the Lord wants us to address, we feel, are abortion, the teaching of the lies about evolution, homosexuality, the lies about the foundation of this country, that this is a godless nation, and divorce. So those are the five major issues that the Lord showed was is sort of destroying this nation.
Yes.
Including the Christian world also.
And Bensley Newton, I want to give out your email ID because people have been listening to this program. We've been on the air for 17 years. You just listed our agenda for the past 17 years. This is what we talk about, and this is our cry to God that He help us as Christian teachers to repent in our own lives, to know Him better, to teach His word, and to inspire Christians not to be ashamed of the gospel, and then to address these issues that some Christians think they're just political issues, but they're not. They're close to God's heart. They're moral right and wrong issues. So your email is, I have it here, foundationrebuilders at Gmail.
Yes.
Google. That's Google's
Google
mail.
Mail. Yes.
Gmail.com. So foundationrebuilders@gmail.com. And I'm sad that we're losing you, but it'll be, we have friends, many friends in Tennessee. We were on the air in Tennessee for some years.
Yeah, we had the same battle together.
That's right. In Memphis especially, we have friends there. And so some of those friends, even listening right now over the internet, even though we're on a 50,000-watt station in Colorado, but people listen live online at KGOV, KGOV.com. But some of those friends are finding out for the first time who you are, your ministry, Foundation Rebuilders, and that you're headed there. So I'm hoping we could stay in touch and work toward this goal and share this vision from God. Without a vision, the people perish, to bring America back to a Christian foundation.
That's one of the burdens that I have also, to work together with all the ministries that are in the same fight together. You know, we have one master and Lord, is Jesus Christ, and He's our commander-in-chief, and we are all servants, soldiers in His army. And recently we took a trip to Washington, D.C., and met with some of the leaders like Reverend Sheldon.
Traditional Values Coalition.
Yes, and Dr. Duke with the Southern Baptist ERLC. Mm-hmm. Ethics and Religious Liberty Commission, and a few other leaders, and Dr. John Wilkie, Jack Wilkie.
Sure, National Right to Life.
Right to Life. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, they were all, I was really pleased and encouraged to see that they all have a passion, and we need to work together. And one of the things that Satan is, as a master doing, is divide and conquer. But Jesus said, you know, that they all may be one. You see in John chapter 17. So I think it will be a great day when we as Christians and leaders in the Christian world see that we have a common enemy and we have a common Lord under whose banner we are fighting, mm-hmm. and we all work together to fight and turn this nation back to God.
So one thing, Bensley Newton, I'll keep saying your name so the audience will remember, because as we were introduced by a mutual friend, a Christian here in Arvada, something fascinating about your ministry and your work is that you recognize that there are two groups of believers out there. And one group, I should ask you to explain it, but one group is really good at worshiping the Lord and studying the Bible, but doesn't seem to take that to the social and political realm where God's heart is. And another group is very politically active, but seems to lack knowledge of God's word. Did I describe your observation correctly?
That's right. So one of my observations you said was, you know, when we see the Christian world today in the U.S., we have one group of people have a lot of knowledge about the Lord, who have a passion for God's holiness, His mm-hmm. righteousness, His purity, and to be pleasing to the Lord. And for most part, what I see is those people are in the churches, within the four walls of the churches, and there are exceptions, and they want to please the Lord. But there's
and they stay in the four walls of the church.
Yes, and they're waiting for the kingdom of God to come when Jesus comes and returns.
Right.
But there's another group of people who are very zealous, who are actively participating mm-hmm. in picketing, you know, abortion clinics and you know,
right.
doing taking
debating evolutionists and atheists.
Yes.
testifying at the Capitol and lobbying.
Yes, who have a zeal to see all these issues taken off from this country, whether it's abortion or teaching of evolution and all this homosexuality.
An epidemic divorce, yes. No-fault divorce.
Yes. So, but the thing is, when in talking to the people, I found that this group of people who have such a zeal for them, a lot of times we don't have the knowledge of God's holiness, of purity, of righteousness, that action without a life to match it is not going to cut it with God.
Mm.
God's first emphasis is for us to live a life pleasing to Him, and then to go and take action. So these are the two groups of people, one with a lot of knowledge, one with a lot of zeal. But what I find is zeal without knowledge is dangerous. But the knowledge of God without zeal is useless.
Is useless, just like the Good Samaritan, the Lord gave the example of what it means to love your neighbor.
Yes.
And if you're a priest, you're a Levi who serves at the temple, but your neighbor is the victim of a crime and he's dying and you just are headed to church.
Yeah.
And so you don't take that love of God and translate it in your culture.
Action,
then that, of course, that grieves God.
Yeah.
You just read through the scripture and he's concerned about the widow, the orphan, the victim, the person who's lied to, who's assaulted, murdered, innocent blood. These are all things that are in God's heart because it's love.
Yes, but the thing is, the main category of people that's being targeted and affected today, I would say, are the children, the next generation. If you go to schools, the teaching of evolution, it's targeted to children, the next generation. If you see the homosexual activists, they are going after children, having clubs there. If you go and see the MTV, as the owner of the MTV said, no, we own your children.
It's
so
devastating.
Almost every group is going after the children.
Right. The textbooks.
The textbooks.
That millions of kids get, they're promoting a godless worldview.
Yes, of evolution.
Socialism, right?
Communism.
Communism, socialism, evolution. And Christianity is not allowed in the public schools, but an Islamic prayer rug, that's fine.
Yeah.
We'll make room for your prayer
rug.
That's
a concerted effort to remove the Christian God, Jesus, the God of the Bible, and Christianity from the culture.
Could I ask you a question? You grew up in India.
Yeah.
That's not a Christian nation. The majority of the people are not Christian.
Yeah, it's mostly Hindu.
Hindu.
Yeah.
In America, and when I've traveled around the world, I've been to Europe half a dozen times, and New Zealand, and Alaska, Mexico, Hawaii, but that's about it. I see people when they get angry, they cuss in Jesus' name. They cuss in Jesus Christ. They use them as a curse word.
Mm-hmm.
Do they do that with like Krishna or Buddha and other places in the world, Muhammad? Do they cuss out Muhammad when they're in Pakistan? Do you know?
No, I don't think so. I think it's a product of the movies that we see. There's a flood of movies from the West. If you see Islam, for example, some people, Muslims, they get angry at America because of the movies, the filth that's being exported all around the world.
Bensley Newton, now you've listened to the show 5 days a week for 17 years, right?
No,
you haven't.
No.
You've never listened to Bob and Yart Live.
No, I have.
Hardly. But, we express this, that America exports filth, and so we give an excuse to Arab nations to hate us. There is no justification for terrorism.
Yes.
Never, ever.
No, no.
But we should not provoke our neighbors. We shouldn't take pornography and the most vulgar scenes and put it out via satellite and over the internet and on DVDs. And their 13, 14-year-old boys work at a hotel, the King David Hotel, and some Palestinian boy does the laundry. Then he sneaks in a room and he watches pornography.
Yeah.
And we're destroying his life and his family. They are angry, even a hatred toward us, because of our filth. We've destroyed our own families.
Mm-hmm.
Now we want to destroy their families.
Yes.
That's tragic.
Yes. And I think that's why I think Christians need to be getting involved in not only in politics, but in education, in media, in sports, in business, and almost every field. And if you see the seven areas of influence, talking about the exporting of filth, I think there are seven areas where I think Christians need to be taking leadership in turning this nation back to God. The first thing is the personal area where we as God's people need to be first be pleasing to the Lord. We need to repent of our sins and turn to the Lord. For example, you know, I recently heard a gentleman say when some of the Christian events come to town, that's when the pornography usage goes high in the hotels.
Yeah. Now, you know what? Two things about that. One, I'm sure it's an urban myth.
Okay.
It's no basis in reality, but it doesn't need a basis in reality because everybody believes it. It's true because we know that pornography is destroying the Christian community and the Christian home.
Yeah.
It's destroying it. In fact, Christian families brag that they have Cinemax, HBO, I don't know what kind of premium channels that are all filled with pornography.
Yeah.
So their kids watch those porn shows.
Yes.
Not only the parents, but the kids even.
And so, you know, if we as Christians don't have a life that's pleasing to the Lord, then we have no moral basis and moral authority to go and fight against these issues.
Right.
To fight for the Lord.
There's a Christian talk show hosted by Hugh Hewitt all over the country, Salem Radio Network.
Mm-hmm.
Yesterday, he was bragging about a movie he saw. It was such a good movie. But he said, but it had a lot of nudity in the movie, so maybe I shouldn't recommend it because some people will be offended. And I'm thinking, here's a Christian leader bragging, telling everybody, I won't even repeat the name of the movie because some people will say, oh, I want to go see it. But bragging about going to see pornography, but it had an interesting plot, so it's worth it? No, Hugh Hewitt, you don't tell people about good pornography. You don't do it. You destroy marriages and you destroy children and men.
Yeah. It's like taking sweet poison, you know?
Right.
And that, I think that's the foundation of what I think will be effective in turning this nation back to God is for us as Christians to be first pleasing to the Lord. That we will examine our lives to see, God, Lord, is there any known sin in my life? To keep short accounts with God. That we will do what is pleasing to the Lord and then be informed to see what's going around us in the culture. And then to work hard intentionally to go and turn this nation back to God. So I started with the personal. That's the first, the foundation, that we in our personal lives have to be pleasing to the Lord. The next group of people who are influential in turning this nation back to the Lord will be the parents. As Christian parents, we need to be involved in the lives of our children to see what's going on in their lives and see what's going on in the schools and actively and proactively make sure that we protect our children.
Well, they need a Christian upbringing and a Christian education.
Exactly.
We send millions of our Christian kids to a godless school system.
Yeah.
Now, our schools in America are officially godless.
Yeah.
God is not allowed in the curriculum. We take our kids and we send them for a godless education. In Scripture, does God say to Israel that he wants them to take their children and send them to Philistine schools on a Philistine chariot? Would God approve of that?
No.
I don't understand this. And our Christian leaders won't even speak against it.
I mean, I think the reason why it's gone is because of ignorance in the life, in the minds and hearts of Christians who don't know what this country was founded on. Mm. This was the nation founded on the gospel of Jesus Christ. You know, I'm sure you heard some of the quotes by some of the Christian
founding fathers.
You
know David Barton. He was in Denver 2 days ago. I heard him speak for 2 hours.
Yeah,
he was down at the Capitol.
Yeah,
were you there?
Yeah, we met him on Thursday and then on Friday.
Oh, yeah. Was that Friday already? That was last week.
Yes.
Boy, time goes fast.
A few days ago.
Yeah, but so we have many founding fathers that were Christian. Some hated Christ, but many loved the Lord.
But you know, David Barton was saying, 27 of the 56 founding fathers either had a seminary degree or they're ordained ministers.
Right.
But then we in the country, at least the school system, is promoting as if the whole revolution was based
godless
and just for taxation without representation.
Right. How many atheists have a degree from seminary? Now, I know some, but 27 of the founders?
I mean, it's a lie.
Like a Bible college or seminary degrees?
Yes. You know, as John Quincy Adams said, the highest glory of the American Revolution was this, that it connected in one indissoluble bond the principles of civil government with the principles of Christianity, not any other religion, of Christianity.
That's true. And the Constitution is ratified in the year of our Lord.
Yes. And even the Declaration of Independence, what does it say? We are endowed by the Creator. And I think if you see according to the modern pundits of the school education and mm-hmm. the Americans United for Separation of Church and State and all these people, right. they will say that even the Declaration of Independence is unconstitutional.
Yeah, because it mentions our Creator.
Yeah.
Well, the Constitution is unconstitutional. Yeah. It's in the year of our Lord.
Exactly. And I mean, isn't that ridiculous to see right. what these guys will go to?
Right. If George Bush were to sign something today in the year of our Lord, 2008, I think they'd run him out of Washington.
Yeah.
It's almost like they wouldn't allow it.
Yeah. I mean,
but so we did have many of our founders loved God. Not everything we did was righteous. There was a lot of wickedness.
Yes, I mean slavery.
Yes,
and other issues.
Just as there still is today.
Yes.
A lot of wickedness, but we had many who did love God and who wanted to build a nation on a biblical foundation.
Yes, and I think the Christians today, we hold the key to the direction this nation is going to be, even if this nation is going to exist as a nation. If you see through the pages of history, whether it's the Roman, the Greek, the Mesopotamian, all the civilizations that fell, every one of the civilizations, when they left God, or the fear of God, immediately there was a downfall and they had ceased to exist. Mm-hmm. If you see the logical progression, you know, the nations are blessed, then they become apathetic, mm-hmm. then they go into leisure, then they go into immorality, and then the final step is homosexuality. And then the nation is destroyed. And if that's been the repeated cycle of history throughout ages, mm-hmm. for thousands of years. And mm-hmm. if the U.S. is also going in that direction, if you see, since 19...
Which we are going in that direction.
Yes.
Now, there is a God, so there is hope.
Yes.
But we're going that way.
Yes, but the key is us as God's people. Because Jesus says, you know, God says in the Bible, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves, turn from the wicked ways, repent, and seek my face, then I will hear from heaven and heal the land. And that's what, you know, we are trying to do is first call us as God's people to repent from our wicked ways, whether it is immorality or it is lack of involvement. And then to go and intentionally and proactively take part in the society to be the salt and light as God wants us to be.
So we have this crisis where, like you said earlier, we have many who are zealous. They have zeal, but without a personal holiness. Not even with an understanding of what that means, and without a working knowledge of God's word, so that you have Christian movements like the pro-life movement or the anti-pornography movement opposing the homosexual agenda, but they are trying to implement a secular humanist answer to what ails society. There is no secular humanist answer to those evils. It's only based on God's word and Jesus Christ that we can show how abortion is wrong.
Yes.
And homosexuality is wrong and evolution is wrong. So we have Christian ministries nationwide that are basically, it seems, ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And they have secularized their ministry.
Mm-hmm. I mean, you're not going to get far with an agenda like that. I mean, so for example, in the Bible, what does God talks about as Christians. He says, Christians, we are called to be his ambassadors. Mm. We're called to be salt and light. We are called to be his servants. We're called to be his witnesses. If you see Jesus, when he was on this earth, he said, he cried over Jerusalem. He said, you know, oh Jerusalem, oh Jerusalem, if he had only known the day of visitation. So God's heart is for us as his people to be pleasing to him. And then to accomplish the purpose for which he has kept us here. You know, you could have been born 2,000 years ago, or you could have been born in 1861 when the Civil War started, or you could have been born in Africa or in South America. But you are here today, and even the people who are listening to us here today, they are here in this country for such a time as this. Mm. And so God has put us here with the knowledge of the issues going on and with a call to turn this nation back to God for such a time as this. Mm. So that's our passion, that as we as God's people will turn our hearts, our minds to the Lord, and then intentionally take an active part in turning this nation back to God.
And that's foundationrebuilders at gmail.com. I'm speaking with Bensley Newton. Bensley, we only have a few more minutes, but after 10 years of being a Christian and ministering here in Arvada, you're now headed to Tennessee. Do you know where in Tennessee you're going to go?
We feel the Lord is calling us to Franklin, Tennessee.
Franklin, Tennessee. And then you'll continue this ministry. I know that you're writing a book.
Yes, we are compiling a book It's called 70 million.
What every Christian voter should know.
Yes. We feel the Lord has placed at least 70 million people in this country who have a heart for God. God's people who have a heart for Him, who love God. But a lot of times we are being influenced by the media, influenced by the society, by news, and all the things that we see all around. But our desire is to inform the Christians, voter, of all the issues facing this nation about abortion, evolution, pornography, the global warming, and taxation, and the lie of the separation of church and state, and all the various issues that's facing America today, and which, if Christians don't actively get involved in politics, meaning go to the polls, or run for office, or inform your fellow brothers and sisters as what these issues mean, and why we should take active interest in these issues,
right,
and then to tell the people, to show them what God tells about these issues from His Word, and what are the consequences of not taking active part, not taking action.
Bensley, I'd like to let you know, we only have a minute left, but over the last few years, Christians in Colorado who are fighting against abortion made an observation that much of the pro-life movement, it was a Christian movement, but it's been taken over by lawyers and politicians, mm-hmm. and mostly used only to get Republicans elected. That's about it.
Mm-hmm.
No longer an allegiance and loyalty to God, mm-hmm. but a willingness to compromise everywhere except on Republican Party politics.
Mm-hmm.
So on this show, Bob and Yart Live, I don't tell people don't be a Republican.
Mm-hmm.
I say honor God first. Become Amen. An expert in right and wrong.
Amen.
Know God's word, and then we as Christians could lead to heal this nation of this crime of killing our own children.
Exactly. You know, this book, 70 Million, is going to have a DVD along with it, which is going to highlight some of the major issues, and it's going to be a very, like a primer, a handbook for God's people to know what the issues are, and to not only for themselves, but also to go and convince other people, other Christians, non-Christians, about the issues.
Well, thank you very much, Bensley Newton. Thank you for joining me here at Bob and Yart Live.
Thank you, Bob. Thank you. It's a great pleasure to see your zeal for the Lord, and it's really good. May God bless you.
Praise God. I'm so glad our mutual friend Andrea brought you to our studio, and Bensley's email is foundationrebuilders@gmail.com, foundationrebuilders@gmail.com. After we get off the air, I'll let him know all about American Right to Life. I think he'll be fascinated to learn about that new group that has a goal to bring the Right to Life movement back to its biblical, godly foundation. So that's so very exciting. And Maranatha Christian Center in Arvada, this school, they've been around for a quarter of a century, 500 students or so. Well, they have a groundbreaking ceremony Tuesday, March 25th. I plan on going there, 2 o'clock in the afternoon. Bring a shovel. It's an exciting expansion for a student center at Maranatha Christian Center. May God bless you all. Our website is kgov.com.